Science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to ThinkWorks, the podcast for people who like to think, because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to ThinkWorks, a place where we do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week I want to explicitly go back to my book, You 2.0, Build Yourself Better. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about some of the concepts that have come out of the book. But I want to focus on a particular chapter in the book this week called Stimulation Through Diversity. Now, over the last couple of years since I started ThinkWorks, every now and again I've done this. I've focused on a specific chapter in the book. And if you're wondering what You 2.0 is all about, it's really about taking charge of yourself so that you can become a better leader, a better businessman, woman, a better family man or woman, a better community leader, better, just everything. Just take charge. It starts with yourself. And the chapter I want to go back to is called Stimulation Through Diversity. And it's the gist of it is basically this: why different thinking makes us better thinkers. And I know what people are thinking. I can see their eyes rolling. Oh no, it's diversity. We're going to get lots of policies. No, this is not about policies. It's an episode about ideas. So there is something what I call the comfort trap. Human beings like agreement. We like people who understand us. We like people who see the world the way we do. And there's nothing wrong with that. The problem begins when agreement becomes our entire environment. You only have to look at the echo chambers in social media to see the kind of trouble that that can cause. Because our thinking becomes comfortable, and comfortable thinking can become lazy thinking, and therefore we stop questioning assumptions, we stop exploring alternatives, we stop noticing blind spots. And it's not because we're foolish or anything like that, it's because nobody's creating enough friction to challenge us in what we are now thinking and believing. And there's a real meaning out of diversity that I need you to pick up from this. It's I don't know. I guess most people still, when they hear the word diversity, they immediately think of demographics, age, gender, ethnicity, religion, ability. And whilst all those things matter, the chapter and this episode are really trying to make a broader point. Diversity is primarily, in my book, diversity of experience, diversity of knowledge, diversity of perspective, diversity of opinion, diversity of thinking. In other words, people who've lived different lives will often see things you don't, and that's incredibly valuable. Because the moment somebody sees something differently, your assumptions get tested. And that's where real learning and real improvement begins. And that's across the board, whether it's personally, whether it's in your work team, whether it's in your business, whether it's in your family or community. It starts with having your assumptions tested. And all that really leads back to what we've talked about this last few weeks in terms of this idea of productive friction. It is, in effect, productive friction in action. So think about some of the best decisions you've ever made. Chances are they weren't made because everybody agreed immediately. They were most likely improved through discussion and questions and challenges and alternative viewpoints. The friction in this case wasn't destructive, it was productive. So somebody asked, have we considered this? Somebody else says, what if we're wrong? Someone tried to point out a risk, and someone suggested a better way of doing it. And because these perspectives existed, the outcome overall improved. Without that friction, we often end up with groupthink. And groupthink is one of the most dangerous forces in any organization. It's why we got all this rollout of all these stupid telephone systems, which actually, because no one's actually thought about how they are structured, they end up in an endless loop. In fact, to be honest, a lot of companies do that on purpose. I don't care what you say, guys. If you've got a phone system that goes on an endless loop, press option this, press option that, and then you get the option that takes you all the way back to the start, you've done that on purpose, or you're incredibly inept, and it's up to you to come forward and admit which one it is and improve those systems so they become client and customer focused rather than saving you money or because you can't be bothered to actually deal with an angry customer, which is more likely the case. And you're not going to learn anything by doing that. You're just really making an angry customer more determined that he or she is going to tell you where to stick it and move on to a competitor. And trust me, because I do it all the time, if you hack me off because of your systems, I find someone better. It's as simple as that. Now, going back to what we were saying after my little mini rant, groupthink is one of the most dangerous forces in any organisation, and that's because whilst organisations say they value diversity, far fewer actually know how to use it, because genuine diversity creates tension, not hostility, not conflict. It creates tension. Different opinions, different priorities, different interpretations. And that is uncomfortable. I'm not going to say that it's not. The temptation, therefore, if it is uncomfortable, is to smooth everything over, to get everyone aligned, to make everybody agree. But sometimes agreement shouldn't be the goal alone. Sometimes thinking is the goal, and better thinking often emerges from constructive disagreement. And this is where the whole idea of diversity of opinion becomes really important. It's because in that particular chapter, every customer, employee, supplier and stakeholder experiences your organisation differently. When a new system is introduced, some people will love it, some people will hate it, and most organisations listen to the praise and dismiss the complaints. The smarter approach is to become curious. Why does that person dislike it? What are they seeing that we aren't? What unintended consequence have we missed? Sometimes the minority opinion contains the most valuable insight in the room. Not always, but often enough that we should pay attention. And the market never stands still. You need to understand that. The chapter itself talks about something that becomes very important every year. And that's how markets do diversify. Technology changes. Customer expectations shift, industries evolve. The organizations that survive are rarely the ones that resist change. They're the ones that stay curious. They actively seek out new perspectives, new trends, new ideas, new voices, because they understand something that's important. Today's success can become tomorrow's blind spot. If you hear nothing else from this episode, I think that key line is it. And within that, you need to diversify your own thinking as well. So the most important diversity isn't external, it is that internal thinking. And how diverse can you say your own thinking is? Do you read people who disagree with you? Do you explore ideas outside your normal interests? Do you expose yourself to different viewpoints? Or do you spend most of your time reinforcing what you already believe? Growth requires challenge, and challenge requires difference. If everybody agrees with us all the time, we may not be learning very much. All that ties back really to this productive friction that we've been talking about over the last few weeks. It really does connect directly to our productive friction theme. Difference creates friction, different experiences, different ideas, different beliefs, different interpretations. The question is whether we see that friction is a threat or a gift. Because every time someone challenges our assumptions, we have a choice to make. We can either become defensive or we can become curious. The first protects our ego, the second develops our thinking. And over time, the people who grow the most are often those who learn to welcome the friction rather than avoiding it. So if there's one idea I'd like you to take away today, it's this. Diversity isn't simply something to recognise, it's something to learn from. Because every different perspective contains information you don't currently possess. And every challenge to your assumptions is an opportunity to think more clearly. Productive friction isn't just found in difficult tasks. Sometimes it's found in conversations, and sometimes in those conversations it's found in disagreement. And sometimes it's found in people who see the world differently from you. And quite often that's where the most valuable growth begins. I learned a lot from the study that I did on philosophy, where I found that Eastern philosophy tends to be bound much more closely with their religious beliefs and ideas. And the whole idea of Buddhism in particular, I hadn't understood just how fantastically structured as a philosophy Buddhism really is. And it just led me into this all kind of new way of thinking and looking at things. Don't get me wrong, I'm not going to suddenly become a Buddhist, but their ideas are fantastic, and I really recommend that you have a look at them and see if you can apply some of the philosophies within your own life. I'm trying to do it. I'm not perfect. I've still got a long way to go. There are some big concepts across these ideas, but I'm trying, and I think that's the key thing to say here. Take on these new experiences, take on these different ways of thinking and beliefs from different cultures, not because you've got a diversity policy in your work, but because you want to genuinely learn a different perspective to your own. As I said, diversity isn't simply something to recognize, it's something to learn from, because every different perspective contains information you don't currently possess, and every challenge to your assumptions is an opportunity to think more clearly. Productive friction isn't just found in difficult tasks. Sometimes it's found in conversations, sometimes it's found in disagreement, and sometimes it's found in people who see the world completely differently from you. And that's often where the most valuable growth begins. As usual, there'll be a post in the community room for you to come and comment on and give your own views and ideas and join in a discussion there. If you go to darreninform.com/community, you'll see that there's some doors there, and click on the ThinkWorks door to go to the forum, which has a post for today's episode or this week's episode, depending on when you're listening to it, and come and share your views on there. Above all, and remember, the goal isn't to surround yourself with people who always agree with you. The goal is to surround yourself with people who help you think better. And that includes yourself. You've got to ask questions of your bosses, of your members of the team, of your family or community groups that you're in. Ask questions. Try and come up with, not to be a pain, you know, try and work out if there's a better way of doing something. And ask your questions to help you formulate what that better way could be. And the best question to start with is always, why are we doing it this way? You'll be surprised when most people look at you and they don't know why. It's just because that's the way they've always done it. And it's only through that question can you start to begin to design something that's better. So on that note, take care, everyone. I'll see you all soon. Above all else, don't stop asking questions. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to ThinkWorks. Don't forget you can join in the conversation by visiting darreninform.com/community and finding the corresponding post for this episode. You've been listening to ThinkWorks, a podcast for thinkers.